Today's reading is from John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other.
Thank you for reading that so beautifully. I just want to share some thoughts this morning. I've, over the last few months, spent quite a lot of time working with one or two others, training a number of people from within the cultures of Myanmar, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, to go and live as lights among communities where they will be the only Jesus followers. And it's been a privilege, it's been joy, it's been humbling to see how God is moving and how God is raising up people from within the cultures of these countries to go and live in communities where they are the only Jesus followers. And in the very first week that we spend with them, we just look at these few chapters in the Gospel of John. John chapter 13 through 17. And the things that Jesus is specifically teaching to his disciples. So here we are in John 15. Up until this point, Jesus has been with his disciples in the upper room. And just at the very end, according to John's record of the events, at the end of chapter 14, verse 31, it seems that the meal is now over. And he says, okay, let's leave. They're not all there. Judas has already gone. Judas left a while earlier. So it's just Jesus and the 11 disciples who remain. And I think there's something powerful in the fact that these are the ones who remain and what that might mean. Because as we look into John chapter 15, particularly these first 17 verses, there's a word that comes out again and again, 11 times, in fact. Some translations, such as the one that was read this morning, mostly translate it remain. In other translations, it uses the word abide. So 11 times, Jesus uses this same word in the language that he was speaking, that's translated abide or remain. It comes up a number of times. But also, as Jesus is teaching them through these 17 verses, he's actually, in many ways, for a lot of it, repeating and reinforcing things that he'd been saying with them in the upper room. For example, he says, he makes that interesting statement in verse 3 of 15. He says, but you are clean. Well, back in John chapter 13, we hear him talk about the same thing as he's washing the disciples' feet. And then Peter has this bit of a spat with him about, don't do mine. And he says, but he explains to him, you are clean. But not all of you. In John 13, he says, not all of you. Because Judas was still with them. And Judas didn't have that abiding relationship with him the way that the other disciples did. But here, Judas is no longer with them. And he says, so you are clean. And then again, he says, both in verse 7 and in verse 16, he says, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. That's something also that he repeats. You find that in John 14. I will do whatever you ask in my name, he says in verse 13, 14 of John 14. Then again, after that, in verse 8 in chapter 15, he says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And this is a key dynamic to this relationship, this abiding relationship. And again, in John 14, he had already talked about this. This is what brings glory to the Father. And then he says this a lot from verse 10 through to about verse 16, actually through to the end, 17. If you keep my commandments, you will obey me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you love me, he says back in John 14, a number of times he would repeat this. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. If anyone loves me, he obeys my teaching. This was a constant thing that Jesus had been sharing and teaching them in the upper room. And now here, as he's with them, probably on the road, maybe in view of some vineyards, he's reinforcing this again with these 11 disciples. And then at the end, verse 16, he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And actually in John 13, back when he talks about being you are all clean, but not all of you, when he says, I chose you back then when Judas is there, he says, I'm not referring to all of you, because I know those whom I have chosen. So there's an ongoing reinforcement, in a sense, as we look at this passage today of what Jesus is teaching, which says to me, this is an important, all scripture is God-breathed, all scripture is important. But these are some of the last moments Jesus has with his disciples. And he's been teaching them on and off throughout their journey. But these are key things he wants them to understand if they are going to successfully continue the work of his Father. He wants them to grasp this. And for these 11, he really reinforces these points again. And I think we would do well to really take heed and to dig deeper in what he's saying. And I encourage you, if you have opportunities, and not for everyone, but for many, this season that we're in has given us a little more time. Use some of that time, I urge you, use some of that time just to sit down with the Word of God, open up to one passage, and this week, and I encourage you, open it up to John 15. Just read it, dig. Draw out from it. There is so much to draw out from it. And I feel like I'm just barely scratching the surface. But there's a lot more to draw out of this. And I would love to sit with some of you that have spent longer in this word and hear from you. What's God been teaching you from this word? So here we have an analogy of a vine. It's one we're familiar with. You have Jesus, who's compared to the vine. You have the Father, who's compared to the vine dresser, and you have the gardener, who's compared to the branches. Let's see if this... Oh, is there a way to click it? No. Go on to the next slide then. Yes. In a sense, and this is a work in progress, what is Jesus drawing out here? And there's a lot more than just this. But Christ, in the presence and under the instruction of the Father, producing an abundance of abiding fruit through abiding believers. This picture of the vine, what is it trying to show us? That Christ, in the presence, in the Father, yet under the instruction of the Father, is producing an abundance of abiding fruit through abiding believers. And actually, you could add on to this, for the glory of the Father, for His glory. There's an emphasis in this analogy of the relationship between abiding believers and the Father through Jesus. Jesus seems to be helping His disciples understand, consider the relationship you have through Me with your Father. I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends. Think about that He would call us friends. Remember that song we used to sing, Hannah? Please don't be embarrassed, you can tell me off later. But there's that song, I am a friend in God. I have a friend in God. Yeah? When Hannah was little and learned this song, she came home, I remember, from her kids one, and she'd be walking around the house singing, I am afraid of God. Instead of, I am a friend of God, I have a friend in God. We don't need to be afraid of God. Those who abide in Him, He calls us friend. What a privilege. He says, abide in Me and I in you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And he says, you, to his disciples. He said to them, you are My friends if you do what I command you. In other words, I command you to remain in Me. And actually, again and again and again, he says, and love one another as I have loved you. I've called you friends. But this relationship of abiding believers, this relationship we have with the Father through Jesus, is that we would bear much fruit. And fruit that lasts, it says, as you read towards the end of that section of John 15. Through abiding in Christ and in His love, we will bear fruit. Not for us, but for the glory of the Father, for the sake of His kingdom, for the growth of His kingdom. So we abide in Him, it results in fruit for God's glory. He says, My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. Quantity, fruit that will last. Quality. So what are the responsibilities when you think of this analogy? You have the vine dresser, God the Father. The vine dresser cultivates. The vine dresser feeds. The vine dresser waters. The vine dresser protects the vine. He cares for it. He prunes it. And we see that in the early section of John 15. He talks about pruning, something again he had earlier talked about. Jesus, the vine, He abides in the Father and He sustains the branches. Because we, as the branches in this analogy, abide in the vine, in Jesus. And by doing that, we will bear fruit. Fruit that others will be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. So let's go on. Abide in the true vine. As I said, this came up 11 times. Many times he speaks of this, whether it's translated abide or remind, it that lingering relationship. And we bear lasting fruit by abiding in this vine. In fact, unless we do, we cannot bear fruit. And we struggle with this. I don't know. I struggle with this. How much have I done, even going? How much of it has been in my own strength? How much is my faith defined as something that I have done for Christ, rather than a life lived out as a reflection of what He has done for me? We need to abide in Him. Draw from Him. Let Him live out through us if we want to bear fruit. But so often, we struggle to live that way. And sometimes culture imposes that upon us. But Jesus, it said in Matthew, it's recorded, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light." So again, that encouragement to come to him, to live our lives out of his strength, not our strength. To feed on his word. Again, it comes back to that encouragement. Take time, regularly, consistently, take time just to be in his presence, to feed on his word, to allow him to nourish you, that he might be able to work through us. Because we cannot bear fruit on our own. A branch, whatever trees you've got in your gardens, they're quite different from the trees we had in our garden in Yangon. We had a mango tree, a type of jackfruit tree. It's actually a hybrid tree. And we had a custard apple tree, very different to the ones you have here. But whether you're a jackfruit tree, or whether you're an apple tree, whether you're a mango tree, or whether you're a pear tree, the branch can't just and pop out a fruit. It doesn't work that way. It's not the nature of how trees are. So we cannot bear fruit in our own doing, in our own strength. Fruit will come as we abide in him. So if we are one of these branches on the vine, it comes as we abide in Christ, who is the vine, as the vine dresser, the Father, cultivates it. And he says, abide right at the beginning, abide in the true vine. Many seek to abide in that which is not true, that does not give life. It is only in the name of Jesus, it is only in Jesus that we might have life and have it in abundance. So then my first question to you, what is the nature of your relationship with God in Christ? Are we abiding in him? Are we resting in him? Are we seeking to draw from his strength? For if we abide in him, we will bear fruit. But let's go on to the next slide. Because he has this interesting statement. Jesus lived in complete surrender, as it were, to the Father. And the Father in this analogy is the vine dresser. So take this perspective. The vine belongs to the Father. The vineyard belongs to the Father. The Father has the bigger picture. Our ministry, our church, the field that he may call us to work in, it belongs to the Father. It doesn't belong to us. It's not ours. The pain, the struggle sometimes can come when we see it as ours, our ministry. Whether that's a Tiddlywinks, or whether that's a church, or whether that's a ministry that we're doing, whatever it is, we see it as ours. We've actually got our perspective out of whack. Because it's his. It all belongs to his. And he invites us for seasons to work with him in those fields, that through us, he will produce much fruit. We will bear fruit for him. And so sometimes that will involve pruning. Pruning is a good thing. Pruning is necessary. Pruning enables growth. pruning leads to greater volumes of fruit. It can even lead to healthier fruit. Most recently, one of the things that we experienced when COVID came, some of the ministries had quite a heavy dependency on short-term missions, people coming out, people giving of their holidays, all good stuff. And many of these individuals and these teams doing great stuff. But that's all dried up. For the most part, that's all stopped. And in a sense, as I reflect back on it, I can see some pruning has gone on. Because as that's been removed away, it's actually created space, and we are now seeing, because our focus has had to shift to the Jesus followers of the cultures within the Mekong, we are seeing an abundance of them rise up as the Lord calls them. And our focus and our energy can be towards equipping and empowering and sending them. And so in Myanmar, over the last year, we've had in 15 different locations around the country, people from Myanmar, Jesus followers, go in response to God's calling to live, some of them on their own, some of them with their families, in communities. Some communities that are not their own community, because it's a country made up of many tribes, but a community primarily Buddhist, and they've gone in under the invitation of the Lord. And we're seeing how through them he is raising up new believers. Since we've moved back here in the last couple of months, two of them have reported of people who have come to faith that they have baptized. And it's encouraging to see how a new growth is coming. So sometimes when things are cleared out of the way, it allows new growth to come in a new way. We have to allow the Father in his wisdom to discern and to determine and to instruct how and what that looks like. But sometimes pruning can be a little more drastic. And what about when it is a little more than we were hoping for? In the next picture, you'll see a different type of tree. This is a banana tree. Again, a very common tree in those parts of the world. But actually, it's a plant. Please, any of you that are into this, you can help understand this tree better. But once that stem, now once that branch, that tree, as we would call it, has produced its bananas, it won't produce any more. It doesn't produce any more. You can leave it there as long as you want, but it won't produce any more. With banana trees, pruning involves taking it right down to the ground, because the system is actually under the ground and you need to create space for new ones to grow up. So sometimes pruning, I share that with you because there was a time that the Lord was challenging me about some pruning he wanted to do in my life. And I just share with you, if I may, just a journal entry I wrote that morning as I'd been out reflecting on the trees and the Lord had brought this to my attention. And I just wrote down, God has brought me to a point where I believe he is showing me some pruning. I'm okay with that. Pruning is necessary. It's a natural part of helping a tree to grow. I'm not sure yet exactly what that might look like. But I believe some of it has to do with aspects of the ministry. I believe there may be some things I need to let him take away to allow space for others to grow and bear fruit. Through this cutting back, new life, new growth, it will come. Probably in my own life, but also it will bring a new season of fruit and allow growth in others. But there's another aspect I sense the Lord may be wanting to prune me. He's drawing my attention closer to what I can only describe as a regressive nature in me. There are things, there have been seasons in my life where I have accepted this nature in me, and at times, I'm not thought much about it as troublesome. But I know when I've allowed this to exist in my life, it's hindered growth. And these past few months, I sense the Lord has highlighted this as something I need to confront. If I'm going to journey deeper, if I'm going to allow him to bear more fruit, he needs to address these things too. This nature pulls me back into immature aspects of my former self. My spiritual walk is affected and it needs to be laid down for me to progress in the journey ahead. This too, I believe, relates to the pruning the Lord wants to do in my life. This was back in May of 2018. And continue to pray, Lord, if you need to prune things in my life, then go ahead and do it. So sometimes pruning may be aspects of ministry that have to be taken away. But sometimes also it's things that we've allowed to creep into our life that hinders the health and therefore the growth of the branch or of the tree. And the vine dresser is gentle. The vine dresser is sure. And when he prunes, whether a little or whether a lot, it's for his glory and it's for your good. And it will produce fruit. So don't resist it, please. I urge you, don't resist it. So then my second reflection question for you. How much are you willing to allow God into your life? Initially, when I wrote this question, the challenge was, how much are you willing to allow God to interfere with your life? How much are you allowed? Will you allow God to interfere with your life? Your personal life, your ministry life, your church life. Because the vine dresser knows what he's doing, and he does it for good. He does it for his glory, and he does it to produce abundant fruit, and fruit that will last. And he says, if you obey my commands, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So will we, do we love God enough that we would be willing to let him, as it were, interfere with our lives? Put the next one up. These are just different trees that we see on a regular basis. And again, the bamboo, a very different plant, very different tree that grows in a very different nature and time capacity to other trees. Growth is not ours. It's God's. Growth is not ours. It's God. He is interested in the quantity. He is interested in the quality. He is seeking fruit that will remain, fruit that will last. And in order for that, we have to abide, remain in him. The promise is fruit will then come, and it will be fruit that lasts. He will sustain that fruit. Quantity is not ours to determine how much fruit it will be. The Lord knows. He just wants us to be faithful in abiding in him. And he will produce that fruit. Whether it's tenfold, 30-fold, 100-fold, he will produce it. Different trees produce different fruit, if you take the analogy outside of the vine. But as we abide in Christ, we have the promise of his provision. We have the promise of his provision. He says, ask, if you remain in me, if you love me and obey my commands, you can ask anything you want and it will be given you. We have the provision. We have the promise of his provision and his care. So let me put this one more. You know this fruit? In Asia, where we lived, this is known as the king of fruits. And for someone who's not come from Asia, it takes a while to adjust to this fruit. But it is great fruit. And actually, I found myself one day this week waking up and suddenly thinking, I don't know when I'm going to have durian again. And this is durian, and in Malaysia, Singapore in particular, actually in Thailand, in all of this part of the world, they love durian. It's considered the king of fruits, and it has a very strong pungent smell, but it has a fantastic taste, a custardy kind of texture. They say it tastes like heaven and smells like hell. That's a fair description of it, but it is a wonderful, wonderful fruit. And actually, we're seeing the fruit that God produces is wide and it is varied. Not all Jesus followers look the same. They don't speak the same languages, they don't reflect the same culture, but in all of the cultures of the world, they have the ability and the capacity to reflect God in His glory. Just the same as not all fruit is the same. But it is good. The fruit will be good. And we're seeing that as we raise up Jesus followers from within the cultures of the Mekong in Myanmar to go and live and share their faith. They may meet not in a building like this. They may meet just actually under a tree or in the home of one of the neighbors. In this season, actually, even that's not possible because of COVID. But the way that they worship may look different too, but there are abiding qualities that you will recognize because they are common with Jesus' followers wherever they are in the world. Those who remain are ones who love one another, who love the Father, who rest in Him, who abide in Him and draw from His strength. But people in that context will taste and see that He is good. So then lastly, growth is for the glory of God. So I chose you, I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. But if you put the last slide up, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. So when Jesus, it seems, has left the upper room, when He is walking now with His disciples and He is teaching them, reminding them of the things that He has been unpacking with them in the upper room, He's helping them to understand, abide in Me, remain in Me. Trust Me. My Father, the vine dresser, cares for you. And as you remain in Me, as you love one another, as a community of Jesus followers, you will bear much fruit. And if the vine dresser does some pruning, allow it, because it is good and it will bring growth. Let me pray. Father, let us not resist your work in our life. Forgive us when we seek to act and serve and run and do independent of you. Father, we remain in Christ. We abide in Him. Your Spirit in us, at work in us. Father, give us the courage to allow you to work in our lives. Dare I say, to allow you to interfere in our lives, Father, that you would bear much fruit through us, that you would produce abundant, lasting fruit through us. Lord, I pray for this church. Pray for the ministries that are represented here and in different nations in the world through this church. Lord, these all belong to you. They are yours. Use us according to your purposes. Use us according to your wisdom. Help us to remain in you. And Lord, I pray, even in this season where you may be doing some pruning in our lives personally or from a ministry context, Lord, do it. And may we see and experience that growth that will come and the fruit that it will produce. For as such, you are glorified when we bear much fruit. Let that be so, Father, I pray, for your glory, not ours. Amen.